Father, thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, we can come to your word. And we ask you, dear Lord, as we open our hearts to it, that you may quicken our spirit and our minds to be able to connect with your truth, that truth may set us free, may give us understanding, may enlarge, Lord, our ability to follow you and to obey you. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your love that passes all understanding, Lord. And Lord, we just love you back. We just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to step back to when I was talking about praising the Lord. I want to read you a scripture that I didn't do when I was showing you that, to show you what Jesus said about it. It's interesting. You know, it's interesting to know that Jesus didn't read the Jewish Bible. Maybe to some of you it's a surprise. But he studied the Septuagint, not the Jewish Bible. And you can see it when he was quoting scriptures from the Old Testament, that often they're not what the Bible, the Jewish Bible says, but what the Septuagint says. And this is one of the cases in which that takes place. Not only Jesus, but also the apostles did the same thing, because at that time, what was available was the Septuagint. Okay, so we can go to, where am I? I don't know. Yeah, here you go. After Jesus cleansed the temple, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 14 says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and say, Hosanna, which actually is an exclamation of adoration, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant, and they said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infant, you shall have perfect praise? See, they were, that's exactly the words. Perfect praise is the way it's written in the Septuagint. If you read your Bible, you're not going to have perfect praise where the quote is coming from. Now, if Jesus said that, I think what we should see, that was his interpretation of what they should be saying in the Old Testament, or at least the understanding that he had. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. Wouldn't you know they wouldn't believe that he had enough understanding to know what he was talking about? All right. So, let's go to Psalm 8. That's right. Psalm 8, verse 2. Actually, we can start from verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, the instrument of Gath, and the Psalm of David, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name on all the earth. You who have set you glory above the heaven. Now, hold the psalm here is about giving glory to God. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infant, you have ordained strength. See, it doesn't say perfect praise. It says you have ordained strength. You know, there's quite a bit of a difference in interpretation, but you can consider, you see, what praise produces. Produces, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So really, what he was saying there, you know, the perfect praise is that here is described, you know, here gives you a bit more, less cryptic, you know, more in detail what actually is meant when Jesus said perfect praise, because the perfect praise is the thing that produces strength in you. Amen. You see, one of the things that results from us praising the Lord is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. As we can start praising the Lord and thanking him for the things he has done for us, strength develops in us. Okay? So let me continue here. Because it's not just the beginning of the good stuff here. Okay? As ordained. So you see, you have ordained strength. So this is, you establish, you have set up the strength for us. Okay? Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You see, there are two enemies or two attacks that we have. One is the enemy, which is actually when we have a satanic attack for no reason whatsoever. Okay? Now that helps us, our praise, help us to break through those kind of attacks. But also not just the enemy that attacks us just because doesn't like our face. Okay? But even the avenger. The avenger is implication that we have done something for which he has a reason to attack us. See, maybe that we didn't do something right. And so he has an excuse to attack us. And we, when we come into praise and we receive strength, we deal with even that. Helps us even when we missed it, even when we did something wrong, even when we weren't up to par. The strength that comes out from praise helps us to break through and to have a breakthrough in that area. Amen. So you see how good actually is to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And praising the Lord is not just saying just simply praise the Lord, is also to direct, specify the things we are praising for, the things he has done for us, the things that are ministering to us, so that we respond to what he has done to us and we just give him glory. Amen. You see, it's just not an empty expression. It's an expression of gratitude for the things we have received. And as we speak out these things, strength comes to us to demolish the attacks of the enemy. Demolish the situation in which we put ourselves in a situation to be attacked. I thought that that was a good thing to bring up. You know, all the psalm later on talks about all the great things that God has done, you know, the heavens, the things, you know, and the glory of manifested in the world and for his creation. But we know what we, and that certainly is a part that we can praise him for. But, you know, it's even more relevant to us, okay, the things that he has touched our life with. The way maybe he reached out to us so that we got saved. The way he ministered to us and filled us with the Holy Spirit. The way he helped us to have breakthroughs at different times in our lives. At times in which he has protected us in situations of danger or other situations that were going to be risky. Are you following me? So this is a good thing to develop and to grow into. because it enables you to have greater breakthroughs than you have in any other way. You come in touch with the inner part of your being, just lifting up the Lord, and that enables to make a contact on the emotional, physical, and spiritual level with Him. And as a result of that, you get strength. Praise the Lord. I thought that I should, I realized that I missed that and I wanted to bring it up. And I said, well, I'm going to do that, even if, it was 2 weeks ago that I talked about this. All right. So we've been now looking at another aspect of faith. Okay, when strength comes to is the strength of faith as well. I mean, this is what spiritual strength is. Okay. But we talked about one of the critical scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:7, okay, saying that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, this is probably the most difficult aspect of faith, because we are trained, we are developed ourselves in our physical growth and mental growth to depend on the world around us. And here we are starting to operate in a way that is completely different. It's opposite to that. And our senses, and our logic, and our way of thinking, and our normal reaction just find it very difficult. And for some people, it's more difficult than for others, depending on the personality. You know, even often what people say, in Pentecostal circles, people think that fall into a mistake often, because they depend on feelings to determine that one is walking in the Spirit and by faith. And instead, in reality, feelings have absolutely nothing to do with it. Feeling can be completely misleading. Feelings are of the flesh and not of the Spirit most of the time. Now, that doesn't mean that sometime when the Spirit is activated, you have no feeling. But you can have absolutely no feeling and the Spirit can be working powerfully in your life about situations. I mean, sometimes there are miracles taking place on the physical level and the person doesn't even know it. Okay. So let's step a bit back and look at some aspect of this, because this is the things in which most people struggle. Have a struggle with, a difficulty, because they try to walk by faith, but they end up falling in the flesh. Okay? There are different things that we're going to be looking at. First of all, that means that you are not depending on the senses when you are coming to conclusion spiritually. The only way to walk by faith and not by sight means that you walk by the word and not by what you see, what you hear, what people say, what you think, or whatever. You go simply by what the word says, and the word becomes the judgment on every situation that you are in. Becomes the element according to which you make decision. Okay? All right. So, you choose to believe the word of God rather than what you see, what you hear, what you figure out, what you know. Sometimes God says certain things And you have no idea how he is going to be able to do that. Because from the point of view of your logic, from the point of view of a natural man, it is impossible. That's why God has to do it. Because he's the only one that can do that. Okay? So, but this is a choice that we have to make all the time. And that choice is not easy because our natural, fleshy, human tendency is to do things according to what we see, hear, feel, and reason. Okay? So we have to see the Word. We have to know the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, what basis do you have to choose? So you have to know the Word that relates to the particular situation you are in, and you make the choice to go according to the Word rather than according to what everybody else thinks, even what yourself you think. Okay? So now, this is where, so this is the mindset that becomes so important. Okay? And the 2 Corinthians 4:17, this is really what we read last week, it says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. You know, we don't can see that. We cannot perceive that at the moment. Because at the moment, it says a light affliction. Possibly we consider a big affliction. Because we don't like to go through dark times. But this is when we have to exercise faith. I mean, when everything goes by itself, you don't need to exercise faith. But when you had to go against what's happening, then is the time when you had to believe God to help you and to do according to what? According to His Word, according to His promises. Okay? Even if it may appear that that is impossible. Continuing there, more exceedingly, weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the idea is that faith starts to be able to see the things that are not seen. We have to be able to see the things that are not seen. And since they are not seen, how are you going to be able to see them? You see them in the Word. The Word gives us the image or the understanding or the picture of what is the end results. Not how we get there, but the end results that is going to be coming out of our application of faith. All right. So one of the things that's going to happen is that when you start seeing things by faith, you're going to see things that other people don't see. And they're not going to agree with you. They're going to actually think you're crazy. You're going to see that you don't make any sense. That you are, what do you think they thought about Abraham? When he was 100 years old, and he was going around saying, I am Abraham, the father of many nations. Okay? So, one of the results of walking by faith is becoming the objective of criticism and ridicule. And this is make it even more difficult to walk by faith, because we don't like to be criticized and to be ridiculed. All right? So that's the thing that we have to understand. The source of the problem that we experience in walking by faith. Okay. So, And this is the reason why we need to go to the Word, to study the Word, to be immersed in the Word, to know the Word so that we know how to apply, and we know what to apply to different situations. When Jesus was tempted, what he said is, the solution was always, it is written. See, that's what has to be coming out of our mouth when we walk by faith. Because we choose what is written rather than what the enemy tries to put us to do. All right? Okay. Now, the key thing here is when we read the Word, when we read the Scriptures, when we read the promises, it's our reaction that we have. You see, we have to see the way we respond to what the Word of God says. We have to see the way we understand it. If you don't understand it, forget it. If the way we apply it after we have understood it. Because when we understand it properly and apply it properly, then we know what to do. Or maybe what not to do in a situation we are in. Okay? And when we train ourselves, develop ourselves in doing that, what happens, we become knowledgeable about doing the right thing at the right time because of out of experience, not because of our logic, not because, or you know, because out of experience we have learned how to respond to situation given the Word, and we can stick with it and stand on it. Okay? We learn to discern what is going on at the spiritual level so that we can make the right choices. When that happens, start to happen automatically. That means you start really to walk by faith and not by sight. Because it becomes natural with your training to be able to do that. Okay? So we learn to look at the unseen instead of the seen, until the unseen becomes seen. And so you start experiencing that, becomes a reality in the physical world. See, everybody else will look at facts, what they can see. You will be looking at truth, what the Word of God says. Because the Word says, you know, your Word is truth. So there is a difference between facts and truth. Facts change. What is here today, tomorrow is not going to be here possibly. But the truth is always the same. Amen. The Word is always the same. Amen. So you see, that's a component that is easy because it doesn't change. Because it doesn't change, then the implication is that you are always the same principles that you are working with. And after a while, you can be expert. You can be skilled in applying them. All right. So one of the situation, you know, when you start to walk in faith, is that there is an opposition that you are going to encounter. There is, you are going against logic most of the time. You are going against what everybody says most of the time. And because of that, depending on where you focus your attention, if you focus on attention on the Word, you are going to be moving in that direction. If you turn your eyes and look to what other people say or the way you see the situation, then you're going to lose momentum. And actually what happens is your faith is going to be quenched. And fear comes because there is always some kind of a cost in walking by faith. But on the appearance, on the surface, in reality, there is a benefit, there is not a cost. But the point is, it appears because everybody else approaches it in a different way. And so because you walk differently, you put yourself on a limb, put yourself in a situation that you don't know how it's going to happen. You see, if you know how it's going to happen, you're going to do it yourself, but you cannot know that you're going to happen, how it's going to happen, because God is going to do it His way, not your way. You know the result, but you don't know how you get there. The good thing that you learn to know is that you don't need to know how you get there. You get there by faith, by believing, by not trying to figure out the way it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Well, in a way, it's not pressure. In a way, it is because, you know, we are used the other way. The natural man tend to operate differently. Okay? So, the fear component is actually the opposing force to our faith. And so, this is really the thing we had to overcome. And the only way we overcome that, well, there are a number of things. First of all, you have to start knowing that God loves you and you can trust God. See, the more you know God, the more you understand the way God operates, the more you understand God's character, the more confident you're going to be that He's looking after you, the more you know Him as a loving Father, the way Jesus came to try to show us that He is like, because it wasn't seen that way before. So the more we see Him as a loving Father, the more, as little children, go to Him in confidence and say, Daddy, Abba, Father. Okay? So that's the number one thing. See, 1 John 4:18 says that when there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears is not made perfect in love. So when you mature in the knowledge of the love of God, then you're going to get over that fear component. But there is another component, though, too. And that has to do very much with, being doer of the word and not hearer only. You see, being doer of the word means that you take action and you do actually the things that make you fearful. You choose to do what makes you fearful because you know that that comes from the enemy and is trying to block you from being able to progress in the way God wants you to operate. Fear never comes from God. God loves you and wants to help you. And so you have to trust that, trust Him, and trust that He's going to see you through. And so you make a decision that you're going to do the things that, you know, say, for example, people are fear, one of the people that most people fear is public speaking. Not everybody, but people can get, but, you know, how do you get over that? You start doing it. The more you do it, and the less is going to be there. Okay? I mean, the gospel says that we should go and preach the gospel, the great commission to preach the gospel to every nation. Okay? Well, what people are afraid of? Flying. So they can go, if you don't fly, you can't go very far. So you see, everything that is this, all this fear comes as an element of blocking you from being able to fulfill God's desire for you. And you can make a list of them. You can see that all these fears are nothing else than hindrance to your spiritual growth. All right. See, and you can use scripture, you can use to motivate you. Philippians 4:13, you know, can do all things in Christ to strengthen me. So, you know, you just do it anyway, grit your teeth, and just go ahead and do it. And after a while, the fear is gone. Okay? Or, you know, what we should say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you have fear of man, you see, that's one of the things we have to overcome. Because if you have fear of man, one of the things that you're trying to do is to please people. If you try to please people, you walk by faith and start to ridicule you and you start to tease you and try to criticize you, well, you're going to be uncomfortable. And so that is where you, you know, the scripture I gave you, you know, Romans 8:31. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? So that you learn to defend yourself against the attacks and the hindrance of the enemy tries to put you to make you weak and not develop in faith. But they keep track of time here. Are you following me? I'm trying to expand some of the things that I was talking about already a bit the previous week. Okay. Now, one of the things that we had to do is what should be focused on. Our mind play a role in the way we walk, the way we walk by the flesh, or we become by the Spirit or by faith. And Romans chapter 8, we read about before, the way Abraham did, shows us what we should do in that area. You know, says, who contrary to hope, in hope, 4:18, in hope believe. So you see, there is a component. People talk bad about hope, but in reality, you need hope. If you don't expect anything, nothing happens. See, you have to have some expectation to be able to have some manifestation, so some believe in something. So in fact, you know, in the same sentence, the two words are used. Contrary to hope, which is expectation, in hope, believe, which is pisteo, which is actually the basis of faith. Romans 4:18. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, you shall be the sent and be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So the idea there is this, that instead of looking, I mean, it's not that you are ignoring the situation. It's not that you say that doesn't exist, the problem. It's just that you don't focus on it. See, this is not, you know, Christian science. Christian science says, you know, there is no sin, there is no sickness, there is nothing. Well, they die. Okay. The point is, what counts instead is the fact that you focus on the word, on the promise of God, the way Abraham did. You see, he did it so that we can, as it's reported, so that we can look at it and learn from it. All right, let me continue here because, So he was did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened, being glory to God. So you see, being in glory to God, he was praising God in advance for the things that were going to happen. And by, do you see, isn't the same thing that we've been talking about, getting strength by praising God? See, you don't just praise God for what he has done already, but you start praising God for the promises that made you so that you are going to manifest the promises in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, depending on where you are, you may have to be praising a lot in some situation. You know, but that's where you develop the strength. You see, you develop, how do you develop the strength? You see, I don't feel like praising. You know, I'm going through a tough time. Well, no. You see, we bring the sacrifice of praise. That's what we were reading about. You know, the sacrifice of praise, we do it even if we don't feel like it. Why? Because it produces results. We don't praise God for the problem. We praise God for the solution because He has made the promises to us to be able to overcome the situation. We praise Him in all things, not for all things. Okay. And being fully convinced or persuaded of what he has promised, he was also able to perform. You see, that's the position you take. You trust God. And you stand on God's promises. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, you may have physical evidence that's contrary to what God said. Well, you had to allow that to be and say, okay, you know, you are not going to speak of things that are as though they are not. You speak of things that are not as though they are. It's a completely different position. Okay? All right. Now, you see, what we do is really, so we start considering, did not consider his own body, but he considered God's promises. Okay? So if we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace. You see, grace is the fact what you receive from God. It's the blessings, it's the things that you get yourself. And one of them, together with that, is peace. Because, you know, when there is the results of faith is grace. You are saved by grace through faith. Okay? So any breakthrough that you have is by faith, but, you know, it's really the grace of God that give it to you because you didn't deserve it. Okay? So this is God's giving you something, and the first things you get is peace. You see, you are not fearful anymore. You are feeling a greater degree of peace within yourself that is really what Jesus provided for you. And now you get that in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that, you know, verse 3, and his divine power, which really is dunamis, is the ability and supernatural ability, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you see, he has given us everything that we pertain to life and godliness, anything that you may need, through his divine power. That means through his ability, dunamis, the divine ability that he has provided for you. And that happens through the knowledge of God. And I repeat it again, you know, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So you see, you have to know something. It's not a question of just blind faith. There is no such a thing as blind faith. Faith is based on knowledge of the word, and it's based on knowledge of what you can expect from God. And it's based on knowledge of his character. So there are all these things that are actually the opposite of being blind and calling us to glory and virtue. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You see, the whole basis for us is the promises of God. That's what we base ourselves on. That through this may be partaker of the divine nature. So what does it mean that we have become partaker of the divine nature? What is the divine nature? Well, what is human nature? Human nature is our character. Our characteristics. The divine nature is God's character. It's God's characteristics. Is what is it? the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what is going to be developed in us, okay? Having escaped the corruption that is seen in the world through lust. So this is really the precious promises through which we become partaker of what the blessing that God, the grace and the peace that God gives us. But we have to look at them. We have to know them. We have to focus on them. We have to acknowledge them and stand on them. Now, you know, in reality, all this, when you are born again, it's a kind of happened already. Because what happens to you when you are born again? When you are born again, you are a new creation. All things have passed away, all things are of God. So really, from the spiritual point of view, He has provided for you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, the way He says in Ephesians. Amen. Already. It's past tense. Now we have to get our mind to line up and to agree, and our body to line up and to agree with what we already have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I mean, are you? Oh my goodness, time is done. Yep. Anyway. So are you following me?
Yes.
You see how wonderful God's plan for us is. How unbelievable, you know, and there is no word to express, you know, what He has prepared for us. Things that we can come to experience even now on earth, not when we go to heaven. He wants us to start living on that dimension so that we can be happy, one component, but we can be an example for the world to see so that they want the same thing, so that we can spread the truth, so that we can spread the gospel, so that we can spread healing, so that we can spread freedom. We have to be the example of that so that the world can see what it's like to follow God and to be His children. Hallelujah. I may have to stop. I had other things I wanted to talk about, but next week? Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the precious promises that you have given to us, Lord, that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, to the glory of God through us. So, Lord, that we can give you glory, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us, Lord, and for these blessings, Lord, that we can receive from you, Lord, as we look at the things that are not seen instead of looking at the things that are seen. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And we acknowledge all the good things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.